in coming. And so, what has been called the Marshall Plan? Have any of you ever heard of the Marshall Plan? The Marshall Plan. Some of you older people, if you reveal yourself, I know you're going to. The Marshall Plan to invest $12.5 billion in the shattered states of Europe, both those that were friends and allies as well as those that were the foes, investment in all of those, that was born. It was called the Marshall Plan. It is said that there has never been a plan like the Marshall Plan, with one great exception. Check out chapter 3 in verses 14 and 15. When the Paul, the evangelist, really had a church planter, he was sent out to bring good news of Jesus. He said these words. He said, "When I think of the wisdom and the scope, the wisdom and the scope of his plan," now that's God's plan, "I fall down on my knees and pray to the Father of the great family of God, some of them already in heaven and some down here on earth." This inspired writer humbles himself to pray when he considers the great plan of God, right? This awesome plan that supersedes, friends, every other plan on the planet. There are lots of plans going on planet Earth, maybe represented by, you know, those three frames inside of the big picture of what's going on the planet. And that big picture view incorporates as the overarching plan for humanity, for your life and for mine, this plan of God. It's of tremendous wisdom and scope, as the writer puts it here. And interestingly, when we think about praying, we can think back to the one who taught us best how to pray. That would be Jesus. And he says then, to pray in, he said, this is how you should pray when he was asked by his followers, his disciples there. And so Jesus said this. Now look closely at the beginning of this prayer that Jesus gives us as a kind of model. He says this: "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Look what he says next. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Your will be done, I submit to us today, is his plans be effected, his plans come to pass. That what God is doing on earth, his will is in force. He's trying to accomplish his will on the earth. That's his big plan, and we're going to look more closely at that. God, you know, gives us this as really important. Plans are important, aren't they? How many of you have plans to retire someday? I need to see some young hands. Okay, good. Jared, he's young now. You older folks, now I get that, all right? But you got a plan to retire. How many, we got all kinds of plans, don't we? How about kids? How about grandkids? Wouldn't you want to have grandkids one day? Wouldn't you want to have kids one day? Those are plans. People sometimes plan these things out. There are certain plans for schooling that you'd want that would maybe be a career change plan, we might say. Or it could be that we've got plans for a vacation this summer. How many of you have already started planning for your vacation this summer in light of all the cold weather we've had? Okay, good. Yeah, I'm with you on that, and believe me, we are planning a warm vacation this coming summer. So there are all kinds of plans. The branch has a plan, don't we? We called it, you know, our vision, our M&M vision, which means not the artist M&M. So he told me that, are you promoting that artist? No. This is M&M, meaning maturity and multiplication. So we got to get to maturity as a church, and we're a young church. We're in this young stage, just over a year old, and we're going to get to a place where we're fully self-supporting, have our own internal leadership, and then what are we going to do? We're going to multiply. You know, mature people have babies, and so we're going to birth another church, not all by ourselves, but in concert with others, similar to the way we were birthed. We have five churches that are our life support. They're our mother, they're our parents, in a sense. And then lots of other supporters around as well. So that's what our plan is. It's valuable to have plans. I'm going to give you like you know, a minute here, around your table, share some plan. It could be very minor. You got a plan to do something this coming week, or maybe even tonight. Or you've got a plan that's, you know, just going to rock your life that you've been dreaming about. Okay? Just share around your table, just quickly, a plan that you might have. And if you don't have to share, but just make sure a couple people can share a plan, some plan they have in their future. Okay? Go ahead. Do that right now. And then you got to remind people about this other thing. I did fail to. Can't. We don't have those here, huh? They're not here, those response forms? Okay. Anybody want to share their plan or a plan that's around the table? You could share somebody else's, I suppose. Does anybody want to share a plan? Quick plan of what you're a plan for the future. Plans are important. Jared wants to sell his car and buy a new one. That's a plan, right? That's a plan. You got to do that. Matt. All right, start working out. Has anybody ever had a plan of that nature to start working out? Yeah, I never planned to stop, but I've planned to start several times. Okay, others, anybody else want to share their plans? Plans are really important, guys. God's a planner. We're going to find that out. God's a huge planner. And we get that from him, I think. We're made in his image, and so we're planning people. We're planning all the time for things. And it's a valuable, valuable skill. It's very, very important to process that. Okay, good. Well, let's look at this now, this idea of the big picture. Why is thinking and praying about God's plan, right, his big one of wisdom and great scope, why is that so important? Well, God's plan or his will helps us see the greater picture or context of life. So think about it. We can avoid, here's a benefit, we can avoid possible and inevitable, in some cases, loss because of just simple ignorance. When we don't know something that's true, that's in the big picture of life, sometimes that can come back and bite us, right? It really can. So it's very important to capture this big plan for our lives so that we can avoid some certain losses or pain problems. At the same time, knowing the big picture or God's plan enables us to have advantage, friends. We have advantage, and we have the potential of gain, really, great gain, good gain, because of that greater knowledge and understanding that we could put to use, called wisdom in choices in life. God wants us to grasp this big picture. You know, I came to Christ, and I wanted to know him. I wanted to know Jesus, and I was in a church, and they were feeding me, and I was getting it as best I could through that church, and that was great, but I decided that I wanted it in bigger doses. I wanted the knowledge in bigger doses, and when you want that in life, It's recommended you go to school, you go to college, you go to get some deeper training. And that's what I did. I went to a Bible college because I wanted to know the Bible, because what's in the Bible is God's will. And I'm going to know God's will when I know His Word. That's what I determined after a little bit of discipleship. And so then I went off to Bible college, not to do what I'm doing today. I didn't go there initially with that plan. But God changed this man, and it ended up being my plan after a little bit of Bible college, because I got to know God, and I got to see this big picture. And for me, and that's not for everybody, right? But for me, it made some sense to pursue that more fully, which I did, and the rest is history. Let me give you a couple of examples right out of the Bible. Something Jesus said about the importance of having the bigger picture in mind that can really help. Here's one. Jesus said these words to the guys, his close disciples. And this is recorded in Matthew 10. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Whoa. What's he talking? What's going on there? Well, these guys that he's training, Jesus is training them in the school of that time. Jesus was an itinerant rabbi, and they were learning from him, and he was going to send them off to preach the gospel. And he was starting to do that at this time. And so they would be going out to give good news about the kingdom of God and repentance and God's Savior's come to earth and such. And what they didn't know was going to happen in the big picture later on was that there was going to be resistance to that message, and there would actually be persecution on them. And friends, we know from church history that 11 of those 12 guys, or actually, 10 of the 11, ended up being martyred, dying because of what they believed in Jesus Christ. And so the bigger plan that they needed to grasp was, look, you're going to need a higher authority to fear for your life than the ones that are in Rome, the ones, the Caesar, or the governments of man. There's a higher authority, and that's God as ruler. And so when it looks pretty dismal for your body, you might be killed. That doesn't mean that's going to happen to your soul. And it's a great encouraging verse if you think about it. And it really matters when you're out there and all of a sudden you're coming up against great resistance to the message of Jesus Christ. In our case, we say that making him known. And there might be resistance even in our day someday. So here's another one. This is over and recorded in a letter called the Book of James, to the back of the Bible. And it says this: Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this city and spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Plans for increasing business. I think that's good, by the way. I think we ought to be planning to grow and develop and do the best we can, reaching our full potential that God's given us to accomplish good things in this world, right? But look what he goes on to say, and this is verse 14. It's not on your screen. You're going to get verse 15 on the screen, I believe. Why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? This is a response to that thinking, okay? And it's incorporating the bigger picture. We get this all over the Bible. It incorporates this bigger picture. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. What is your life? That's the question. What is your life? You are, the writer says, a mist that appears for a little while and vanishes. Wow. Instead, and here's the verse you get on the screen, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. And so the instruction, the admonition here, the idea is, incorporate God's big picture here. Incorporate God's plan as you make your plans. You make your plan with, in the case of that middle frame, that's the picture of the advance we're trying to make in whatever plans we're trying to make in life. Remember that that sits inside of the big framework of life. That's what that's what God wants us to get. He wants us to get that as we understand Him and the life we're living. And you could find this all over in the Bible, and if you're interested in more, just read the Bible. So it's knowing what God is doing, this big picture, is really helpful to knowing what we should do. Capture that? It's really helpful. And so I'm gonna just give you a phrase that I'd love to have you be the take-home phrase today, this memorable statement that sticks and you can't get it out of your mind. I'd love for it to be that way to you, because that'd be helpful. Here it is. Align your plans with God's eternal plan. Align your plans with God's eternal plan. Say it with me. Align your plans with God's eternal plan. Let's look at this a little more closely. Let's ask and answer the question to get a grasp what God's plans are, right? What's His big plan? Let's look at that and ask and answer the question, what is God doing on the earth? And number one, God is bringing people to Himself through Christ. It's pretty simple. It's why Jesus came. God is wanting to bring people to Himself through Christ. And if you were here last week, you captured this in chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians. And look at the verses there that I've recorded here for that. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ, parenthetically, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so this is God's plan, we say, of grace. It's a plan of grace. And this is something that I struggled to understand for a while growing up. I was in church every Sunday. It was rare that we didn't go to church. We did it on vacations. I was always in church every Sunday. But for me and my faith, it was fairly compartmentalized at the time, and I didn't grasp all of the depth of this understanding about grace. We live in a performance culture, don't we? You perform, you go up the ladder. You don't perform, go down the ladder. Well, in Christianity, it isn't about our performance which gets us into heaven. It's about what God did, or His performance in dying on the cross for us. It's not our good deeds. It's the great deed of Jesus Christ, who, without fault before God, decided to substitute Himself for your and my faults, our sin, our transgression, where we fell short, our wrongdoing, and give us heaven. Give us freedom from our penalty for our sin. That's grace. And it's called the plan of redemption. It's called the plan of salvation. He puts it in here as like this plan of grace, this plan that we would become alive from the dead, spiritually speaking. And so Christians, those who follow Jesus Christ, if they have trusted in what God's done on the cross for them, then they are what we call saved from the penalty of our sin, because they have said, I trust that Jesus did that for me. And I'm free now from it. Or I'm once was dead, now I'm alive. Once was lost, now I'm found. Some of this terminology, metaphor we have in the Bible. It's amazing. It's wonderful. Once I was an enemy of God, now I'm a friend and reconciled to God. Oh, it's tremendous. This just great imagery we have about the plan of God. The plan of grace. And it's for everybody. And so we see in the Bible that for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. This is the very purpose for which Jesus came, to bring people back to God, to bring through Himself, to bring people to God. Follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. All of a sudden now, Jesus is starting to say, you're included in this plan. And He commissions the church, his disciples that follow him as a community to go and make disciples of all peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, uniting them with Christ's saving act, his death, burial, and resurrection. As we trust in that, we are identifying with him as disciples did at the time through a burial in water that marks that point of departure for us from old to new. And we're raised up with new life. We're made alive in the Spirit. Our bodies still continue to die, okay? But full redemption comes when we get our new bodies. And that's a tremendous, you know, that's a fullness of redemption. We get our new bodies, and that'll be heaven and immortality one day. This is what God is doing. This is the big plan. God's okay. He's okay with all kinds of other plans. But you know what he's primarily interested in? Bringing people to himself through Jesus Christ. That's the most important work that's being done on the planet. It's the big picture. You can't have this big picture about life on earth without getting that. And so that's what God's doing, and we're part of that, and we want to be involved in that because we've been made to go and make disciples, to be fishermen for God, bringing people to himself through Christ. And so this is a primary thing. So as Christ followers, we're part of this plan. Look at verse 10 with me. For we are his workmanship. This is our February memory verse. We are his workmanship. We're like his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus. Note, he created everybody that's alive today, but then we're recreated in Christ Jesus. So we're made alive. We're made new. We're brand new creatures, the Bible says, in Jesus Christ. But what for? For good works. Now, not by good works. It's not our good works that made us followers of Jesus. It's God's work, but we were made followers of Jesus for a purpose. And so God loves you, and he has a purpose for you. And so as we become followers of Christ, we get involved in what God's plan is on the planet. And so we have this wonderful memory verse. Just say it with me now. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Thank you, church, for walking in good works. That is being a light. You know, we let our light shine, and people will see more of the glory of God. They will understand more as we're salt and light on the earth. And you know, one of the greatest ways to do that is to reveal what God's done out of his love for everybody, this light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Easter is a great opportunity. It's just coming up. It's fast. Easter comes fast in my book anyway. So we have these 7 for heaven cards that you can pray for people. And that is a good work. Pray for people that you know in your orbit, you know, the orbit around you in your life, you know, that you rub shoulders with, you associate with in some regard. Pray for them. Ask God to give you an opportunity to share, to talk to them about the Lord at some point. That an opening maybe to invite them even to the branch or to some event you're doing in ministries around the branch. Extremely valuable. People will connect to God through you. People will connect to God through you. So he wants to use you. And so be open to God's use. Pray into that. Align your plans with God's eternal plan. Say it with me. Align your plans with God's eternal plan. How's that working out for making, you know, people in your life a little more aware, being a light to them, salt to them? So pray for them and watch God open some doors. Let's look at number 2. What is God doing on the earth? God is bringing people together in Christ. He's bringing people together in Christ. Look at chapter 3 and verse 6 with me. This is God's plan. Specifically speaking, there's a particular plan that God had in mind with regard to those who would be saved or reunited with himself through Jesus. They are put together in Christ. This is God's plan. Get this one. This is really important. This has everything to do with why we're here as a branch church right now. because this is part of God's plan. Look what he says. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body. Both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Jesus Christ. And so God even puts those who were enemies, there's in many cases still enemies today, the Jews and the Gentiles, right, together in the church under Jesus as the head. This is what all of history is moving toward, this eventual time frame. Got it. And so this is what God is trying to do. Belonging and unity are very important to God's plan. And anyone can be family by faith. You don't have to go and jump through any other hoops. If you've got trust in Jesus, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you can be part of his capital C church and his localized churches like the branch church. That's all it takes. You don't have to have some socioeconomic level. You don't have to have your act together perfectly over here. You can just be part of what God's doing. He wants you to be together with everybody else. And so he wants the assemblies to happen of the church. He wants your involvement in what the body of the church is doing. This is part of his plan. It's part of what he's doing to reach the rest of the world. Just like he did at one time through the Jewish nation, Israel, he does today through the church worldwide. Isn't that cool? Isn't that exciting? Oh my goodness, to share equally. I looked at those words and I circled them. Just share equally. That's not so easy. We were out with my grandson, Asher, the other day, and we went to the store with him. Okay, first of all, that's not a good idea. And then Grandma likes to spoil Asher, so she gives him these toys off the shelf that we're going to buy. But when we get through the checkout line, guess what? Asher doesn't want to give them up. You know what he says? They're mine. They're mine. And he's got a grip on those things, and you couldn't wedge them out of his hand. I don't know what we bribed him with finally to get him to do that. So I looked up the toddler rules that Asher goes by, and this is what he goes by. These are his rules of ownership and sharing. I think you can help me out with this. See if you can. There's 10 of them. Number one, if I like it, it's. If it's in my hand, it's. If I can take it from you, it's. If I had it a little while ago, it's mine. If I'm doing or building something, all the pieces are mine. If it looks just like mine, it's mine. If I saw it first, it's mine. If you are playing with something and you put it down, automatically it becomes mine. If it's broken, it's yours, of course, yeah. But if it's broken, but you are having fun playing with the pieces, it's mine again, yeah. And so it's not so easy to put people together, little kids in toddler stages or older adults. Oh, friends, God wants us together. Part of being in the plan of God is that we connect people to people. We are peacemakers. Jesus was the peacemaker of all. And we're to do that. We're to bring people together, Republicans and Democrats, together. Okay, this isn't so easy, I know, but this is what God calls us to do. It's his plan. Look at verse 10. God's purpose in this was to use the church, to display his wisdom in its rich variety. Look at this. To all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places, this was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Jesus Christ our Lord. Whoa! There's something going on planet Earth that those in the invisible realms of the heavens are observing. And it has everything to do with the church. Church is very powerful, friends. That's why we're in the business of planting churches and multiplying them as best we can. The church, people need the church. Don't buy the thinking that, oh, I can have church on TV or I can have church. I don't need church. I can be a Christian. I can be a follower without church. That's not in the plan of God. That's in some plans inside of humans, but it's not in the plan of God. And so align your plans with God's eternal plan. Thirdly, empowering people. God is doing this. He's bringing people to himself through Christ. He's bringing people together in Christ, and he's empowering people to become complete in Christ. He's empowering people to become complete in Christ. Look at what Paul prays about. Right after he saw the scope and the wisdom of God's plan, he went on in this verse, in verse 16, he said, "I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit." He will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Pause there, because as we become a Christian, we have God come to live inside of us. We're a temple of his Holy Spirit. In spirit, or God in the Spirit, God the Spirit lives in us. And through that, we have this power. We have a resident power to do some things as we trust him. Now, here's where real alignment comes in. Do we trust him in responding to that inner helper, the promptings and the urgings and the leadings of God's Spirit? Sometimes we just know what's right to do when we're tempted sometimes to do something different. It's the Holy Spirit. Okay? And as we know the Bible, as we learn more of it, we gain a conscience about how to follow God and please him. And so this is a strength that we have. God gives us that strength, and we're to align ourselves with. We're to trust in what he says and how the Spirit prompts. We're to submit. We're to respond. We're to be led by the Holy Spirit. Align your plans with God's eternal plan. And it goes on to say, "And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is his love. May you experience the love of Christ, though this is too great to fully understand." Interesting. Look what it says there. "Then you will be," look what it says, "made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." Here's the deal. Your life and my life will not reach its fullest potential that God has designed for us. The biggest picture for what the impact of our life could be, both on ourselves, both for our kids, both for our grandkids, and the people around us, and in every form we're in, if we don't access God, if we don't understand the amazing God that he is and the scope of his plan and what he's doing. Look at this last couple of verses. "Now all glory to God." Notice this. God receives final glory for all things. We ought to make sure he gets his just honor. "All glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us." Again, God's Spirit deep within us. "To accomplish infinitely more that we might ask or think." So as we pursue prayer for ourselves, we pursue prayer for others in the like, maybe the like the prayer Paul's offering here, the prayer that Jesus instructed us as a model. As we pray, which is what I think we're encouraged to do here, that's how we're going to become more complete, is we seek God for ourselves, as we seek the Bible and understand God, as we seek what the Spirit will be prompting us to do. Look what he says here. His power, his ability is able to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. We couldn't even imagine what he could do for us. And one day we get down the road and we say, "We can't believe God did that." And that's the proof, by the way, that that's the way God works. He's got an abundance beyond what we can imagine could even happen, and we're immeasurably blessed. And he says this at the last, "Glory to him in the church." Friends, the church is vital and important to the plan of God. Don't ever let anybody convince you otherwise. Don't ever let a church that hurt you, don't ever let people that messed with you mess with the plan of God for you to be part of his body, a functional, practical part of what God is doing on the planet. You will find the greatest fulfillment in your life. You will never regret your investment in the plan of God on the planet. Take it from me. I've been doing it a while, and it's just an incredible and we've had our hurts, friends. I'll tell you the story someday, the stories actually. But it's still the greatest thing that's going on. So, glory to God in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations. And it just doesn't get any better than that. So, say it with me. Align your plans with God's eternal plan. The big, big picture. We're going to respond right now to him with this message on your connection card. Just invite everyone here. Thank you all for being here, by the way. Thank you for being part of the branch on this Sunday. Let us know that. It would just please my heart to get a card from you, even if it was just your name, and you can just say hi on it. Okay? Well, on the backside, you might want to respond in some way here. You might want to put a prayer request down. You might want to say, I'm taking a step today, and I need to make a stronger commitment. You might want to seek help even for that. And I'd be happy to follow up with you on that, have a cup of coffee together, and visit more. So we'll be processing those, but make sure you complete those. We're going to have a song now with respect to taking communion. And after communion, we just have a final song, and then we're dismissed. And you can, you know, help yourself to the more refreshments. We hope you hang out a little bit so we can visit with everybody here, and you can get to know some other folks around here. But there's a plan. The plan of reconciliation demanded, big plans demand sometimes a lot out of us. Well, the plan that God put in effect to bring us to him, put us together, make us complete, came at huge cost. Very expensive plan. Jesus died on the cross for you and for me. Think about it as we take communion again today. Oh God, would you receive our thanks today for all that you have done, this amazing plan of the ages. God, help us to just revel in that and to pursue that, to align our plans with your eternal plan. In Jesus' name, amen. Help yourself to communion. There's tables where I'm pointing.